This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Unfortunately, there are some trying to stoke division and to push an extreme agenda, which we won't go for, that will produce only more poverty, more crime, more suffering. This includes radical efforts to defund, dismantle, and disband the police. They want to get rid of the police forces. They actually want to get rid of it.
The Defund the Police movement is sweeping the country. It's not just Minneapolis. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, welcome to the show. If it's the first time, hey, settle in. And remember, you can always flip me your thoughts at katedelaneyradio.com. And this is the big conversation across the nation. And at this show, we like to have that conversation no matter where it goes. That's why I started it. It's about whether you're left of left, right of right, somewhere in between, no labels. It's about having that convo, and we do it each and every single time we crack open the mic here. So defunding the police, since George Floyd's death, there's been a massive, massive push for that. You heard what the president just said there. The president vows executive order, in fact, to address law enforcement use of force, but he's absolutely against defunding the police and the movement. He made that announcement, made it pretty clear during a trip to Texas on Thursday, saying that, yes, we need to reduce the racial inequalities and combat police brutality, but we don't need to go to the extremes, that we're going to go the opposite route. We're going to have stronger police forces. Police departments, of course, are under massive attack and renewed scrutiny because of the death of George Floyd, the unarmed black man who died before our eyes after a Minneapolis police officer, you know the story, kneeled on his neck for almost 9 minutes. Shocking, sickening, appalling. Any adjective you want to throw in there? We've been talking about it for, again, nearly 3 weeks. And just a couple of days ago, he was laid to rest in Houston beside his mother. And, of course, one of the things that he was called for was his mama when we watched that horrific piece of video. But Floyd's death, along with Breonna Taylor, an EMT in Louisville, Kentucky, who was sleeping, and it was a no-knock warrant, wrong house. They already had the person in custody. She died. Supposedly 8 shots is what went through the house. But regardless, that was another incredibly outrageous moment in police history, and still there's so much there that is not recorded. Nobody was charged with anything in that case, and there's police reports that weren't even correctly filled out in Taylor's case. And because of that, and because of the movement to look at what is justice for anybody who is in an area where they are economically deprived, where they are primarily African Americans, etc. That's what really, really kicked in the idea of we need to defund the police, because look at what is happening and look at what we're seeing, the inequity of what's going on with policing, and, you know, what does it mean? But what would it mean to defund the police? We've talked about it a little bit on the show. We're going to talk about it a lot more next week. I mentioned that a town that was probably, I want to say, 15 minutes from where I grew up, horrific crime, Camden, New Jersey. They did it in 2012. They just stripped down the police department. That was it. And it basically meant they started over again. It worked. It was small. It was a small, but important city, actually. It's the home of Campbell's Soup and right over the bridge from Philly. But they had all kinds of corruption. It was not working. There was no way. Nothing was happening there. It was like a sad movie set where nobody was surviving it. I mean, horrible things happened there. And it worked. But it worked because of the area. It worked because of the amount of corruption that absolutely called for something radical to happen. But the Minneapolis City Council voted to disband their police department, and instead of resembling something a little bit more moderate, some kind of an experiments that are already underway in some cities and towns, they're saying, no, that's it. I mean, that's the end of it. Let's just go with the citizen patrols, and let's move in that direction. We'll see how that all turns out in Minneapolis. There's still a lot that's not known yet. It has not happened. Advocates say that this would work. There would be outreach workers, social workers, community workers that would be trained to de-escalate street feuds, and that could be paid for by taking the cash from police budgets to municipal programs that deal with the underlying causes of crime, including the poverty, the inadequate housing, the poor education, all of that. So what they're talking about there is defunding the police and investing in resources in the communities. I've said this on this show. I don't think defunding the police is any kind of a blanket effort that should, across the United States, that should be kicked into lots of communities, because I don't think it would work. I think Camden was kind of an anomaly. There may be other Camdens out there, but I think that too many people would feel incredibly, wide open for whatever kind of crime could happen. Do I think that in so many police departments there needs to be some kind of radical reform? Absolutely. Exactly what the president said there. What kind of police reform can happen right now? So push back in some areas and push forward in other areas. You can let me know your thoughts, because we've been doing a poll here along with our mask on, mask off with what's happening with COVID-19. Are you still wearing a mask in public? Are you not wearing a mask? I'll let you know the results of that poll when we check in our mailbag. But defund the police or not, that's another thing we're talking about. You can weigh in. Just let me know which it is. KateDelaneyRadio.com. Click on contact or jump on the phone lines, 855-266-5283. Lots to talk about on this show. We're going to have a chat with Dr. Carol Lieberman. She's going to join us from the West Coast to talk about something else that's happening because of the pandemic and so many people staying at home. While there are states reopening, cities, towns, rural areas, people getting back to work, people going out to eat, people going out to drink, people going out to hit golf balls, all kinds of things, there are some that don't want to do that. There are some that still are tied to being at home and are having a tough time with the whole idea of reopening. And there's lots of different ways to look at that. So we'll talk to her coming up. 115,000 people have died in the United States, COVID-19, recovered from it, 619,000. Confirmed cases, 2,000,006. Worldwide, over 7 million cases, 408,000 deaths. 408,000 deaths. Also coming up this hour, the PGA. No fans, but after 3 months off, back in action at the Colonial Country Club in Fort Worth, Texas. What was that like? We'll find out as we go to a reporter who had a press pass, there were only a few, to the event. Hang with us.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than FrontSight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from FrontSight's world-class instructors, led by FrontSight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at FrontSight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning growing population guaranteed. And now you and your family can train at FrontSight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter FrontSight.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. FrontSight, America's gun training destination.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM. Nancy, my friend Annie, my sister-in-law Chrissy, my other friend Jake, and another friend, longtime friend Joe. Just a handful of people in my life who really don't want the quarantines to end, right? And they don't really say that out loud, but I keep getting texts from them about it. So I'm very aware that for different reasons they're not excited about the reopening. And I've mentioned how many people have died in the United States. I've mentioned lately what's going on, and I'm wondering how you feel. Perfect time for us to have Dr. Carol Lieberman back on with us from the West Coast. She is a board-certified psychiatrist. She's got a master's in public health and a wild resume that would take us the entire show to go through, but let's just say she knows her stuff. Hey, Doc, thanks for coming back on.
Fine, thank you. I'm good. It's good to be back on.
So let me ask you this. Is this common? Do you have people that you know that feel the same way or people you're treating?
Yes, it's very common. And as you were saying, people don't necessarily want to admit it, but they're all actually secretly thinking that they've gotten used to this. And, I mean, the big difference is that when we were being told to stay in our homes, you know, by mayors and governors and so on, we didn't want to do it. But now that we're having more of a choice, that's taken that punishment part away, and now we're having second thoughts about it. I mean, particularly the main reason is because of the potential and beginning resurgence of COVID.
Oh, yeah. And see, that's what I think. Are we at the craps table and we don't know? You know, there's a question mark, and you certainly know that. And nobody can for 100% tell us, oh, no, it's totally fine. So I understand that anxiety, that there would be angst over, oh, should I really go out there? Is it under control, masks or not, or social distancing? Will there be a resurgence? We've seen that there's some more hot spots that have bubbled up, like Arizona, and some of that is more testing, but the hospitalizations are up. But I think that's kind of split, though. I think that there's other people that also just are just ignoring whatever's out there. I don't know that either's healthy. What do you think?
Yes. I mean, some people are so eager to get out that they are just sort of flaunting some of these rules like masks and so on. But there are also other reasons why people secretly don't want to come out of their homes. And one of them is that lots of people have let themselves go. You know, there are jokes about the COVID-19, but it's really, it's actually true for a lot of people, if not 19 pounds, then some degree. And it's because we've all been stuffing ourselves with comfort food. And then until just recently, the hair salons haven't been open, and some of them still aren't open. And so there's that, gray hair, gray roots, the nail salons still aren't open. In California, the governor doesn't want to open nail salons because he said that the first case in California was from a nail salon, which is absolutely ridiculous. His office has finally acknowledged that there's no way that they could know that because a lot of cases were symptom-free. So there's no way to know where the first case was, you know. And then also, good.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like what you said about the pounds and letting themselves go and binging on tube, you know, sitting around on watching whatever you want to watch and sleeping, right? Sleeping in whenever you want to. I think that's probably part of it, right?
Yes. It's been very easy to get accustomed to these new routines of sleeping later, and also a lot of people are happy to have had the time with their children and with their partner. Now, that actually has been in two extremes. There are some people who are happy for that extra time, extra bonding, and so on. But then there are also people, like couples, who are now filing for divorce because all those little annoying habits. It's one thing if you're not with them 24/7, if one or both people are going out to work. And now with the quarantine, you got to experience these annoying little habits 24/7. So it's been a real extreme one way or the other for that. And also, you know, there are people, well, one of the problems is that people are realizing that they are not quite as mentally healthy as they were before they went into quarantine or isolation or whatever you want to call it, because it has been causing problems like anxiety and depression and PTSD. You know, they actually did studies on the effect of isolation on people way before coronavirus, and they found that just isolation alone can cause physical and psychological problems. So there's that, plus the fear of coronavirus, and of course now, plus the fear of all these riots. That's the new little wrinkle. You know, I had come up with these 10 symptoms of how you know you don't want quarantine to end, and then there is now the 11th symptom after the George Floyd murder and after the riots and looting and so on. People don't feel safe coming out into the streets.
Yeah, I can see that. And you the 10 that you came up with, and you talked about a bunch of them there. And I think the other thing is, too, some people that are working from home don't want to go back to an office and deal with coworkers and everything else you have to deal with at work, right?
Yes, from stale coffee to a grumpy boss. You know, when you're working from home, you're much more comfortable in your own home and with your kitchen nearby and television if you want to take a break and eat lunch and watching television. And just not having the pressure of people breathing over you. I don't mean breathing. There's that too, but I mean breathing down your neck, to do what they want you to do. So there's that. And presumably a lot of companies will be allowing people to stay home depending upon what kind of job they have. So I think there is going to be a change to some degree where some people will be allowed to work from home.
So what do you tell people that they can do to kind of get back in shape mentally, physically, whatever? What do you tell them to do, Doc?
Well, for one thing, in terms of going back out into the world, it would be good to do it. It's like to get a buddy. You know, if you are having some of these feelings, some reasons for why you don't really want to go out of quarantine, if you find a buddy who either has similar reasons or different reasons, and you can kind of help each other to get over some of these things. And of course, just in general, I mean, people should be doing things every day to decrease their stress, from getting aromatherapy candles to doing exercise to listening to New Age music or classical music. All these different kinds of meditation, of course, all these different kinds of stress relievers that there are out there. If they haven't already, they should now make sure that they put these things into their life so they can decrease the stress. You know, part of the stress has to do with having watched for weeks and weeks television where the message has been, we're all going to die.
Yeah.
And that is what has given people PTSD, because they showed that after 9/11, when people who watched the Twin Towers fall, even if they were nowhere near New York or nowhere near D.C. or Pennsylvania, that if they kept watching that too many times, that they developed PTSD, not even having been there, but just having watched this over and over again. So it's the similar thing that's happening now with coronavirus, that having watched all of this dreadful news for all these weeks, and especially people waking up in the middle of the night, so what do? For the most part, they turn on the television and they see these really scary things. People in ventilators, dying alone. A lot of this has to do with fear of having to confront your own mortality.
Yeah.
So, and also I tell people, not my patients, but people in general, if you don't have a psychiatrist or a psychologist,
Get one. It's a perfect place to end this. This was great. Dr. Carol Lieberman, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
WSA Radio News, I'm Jesse Edwards. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said during a press conference on Sunday that bars and restaurants that allow large crowds will lose their liquor licenses.
This is a time in history we've never seen before. You violate the law, you can lose your license. And you will. We're not kidding around about this.
Protesters in Seattle have taken over a 7-block area near the police department's East Precinct. Seattle Police Officers Guild President Michael Sloan told Fox News the city is now close to becoming a lawless state.
This could metastasize across the country. It's quite clear that City of Seattle elected officials are lacking the political will to enforce the rule of law. And this is the closest I've seen since being a 20-year professional of public safety service. Of our country to becoming a lawless state.
This is USA Radio News. Protesters in Seattle have taken over a 7-block area near the police department's East Precinct. Seattle Police Officers Guild President Michael Sloan told Fox News that non-protesting residents are feeling threatened.
What happens to the reasonable community in Seattle, in particular the business owners that surround that area or the residents? And we're already seeing reports come out of those residents saying they're not even allowed to have a vote or a say, and they're feeling threatened. So this is a very deeply troubling situation in terms of public safety.
Republican Senator James Lankford from Oklahoma said on ABC's This Week that there should be a national ban on chokeholds, the restraint police used when George Floyd was killed in Minneapolis.
Absolutely, we should have that. That is one of the things that we should have engaged in a long time ago. Many departments around the country have already banned chokeholds, and I think a lot of other departments are increasing that now. Some departments just didn't train for chokeholds and told their officers they can only do what they've been trained for.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you and have found a way for as little as $1 a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about $1 a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
Obviously, still this pandemic, and we've talked to people all over the world about what it's like in their corner of the world. We have Katrina Morgan with us. She's an author, and she's coming up later in the show to talk about her very funny book, Echoes in the Walls, with some great messages in it, too, by the way. Katrina is in Ohio, and in your part of the world, what's it been like?
I think overall, we're experiencing the same things everyone else did. There's trepidation and some stress and some worry economically, et cetera. But in our little section, it's economically depressed to begin with. And there was some real concern about what to do with the kids once they left the school environment in March, about feeding them. The school district that we're in has almost a third of their children receive breakfast and lunch through the school each day. And that became a huge concern about what to do about those children once they went home.
So you have the problem of the kids and the meals, and you're involved in that. When you and I were talking, you were telling me how many meals are you making to get to the kids?
Well, I'm working with the Cloverleaf School District and their food coordinator, and she and the supervisor determined that they were going to continue to give the kids their breakfasts and lunches on a weekly basis. So each week there are at least 5,000 meals that are being made Each child receives 5 breakfasts, and each child receives 5 lunches. And they're nice meals. It's not a peanut butter sandwich. They're really good, nutritious meals full of the fruits, vegetables, proteins. And these cars line up once a week, and each of these kids receives their meals. And it's amazing. There's a lot of volunteers, a lot of coordination. Carrie Beagle, who is in charge of the food service, has done an outstanding job. But they just determined that it was worrisome to send these kids home, not only because of their schooling, but because of their nutrition. So it's been an amazing experience to work with that once a week.
Yeah, that has to feel, does that feel good on your heart doing that?
Oh, it does. And the kids are so appreciative. We have artwork that comes in every week from the kids thanking us for that, which does my heart good too, to know that people appreciate that even these younger children are seeing the problems around them and that there are people who care.
Yeah, and they're not abandoned. They're not abandoned, and
no.
Then they get fed, and then it's good for the families, too, because there's no shame in that. And $5,000 is a big amount, and that's great that you're doing that. Absolutely.
It's a wonderful thing. Love it.
Yep. All right, so we can't wait to talk to you later in the show. Like I said, Echoes in the Wall, in the Walls is the name of the book, and it, like I mentioned, is very, very funny. Imagine that you have all these bats, and you can't get them out of this house that you bought, and the clock is ticking, and you have to move, so what do you do? Ooh, I know there's some people out there that can relate to being stuck in situations like it, but you're not heard anything like her story.
Crazy. All of us stuck in our homes right now. Exactly.
Exactly. Katrina, thanks.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
All right, so from Katrina, we go to a quick, shortened version of the mailbag because I wanted to make sure I got so much email, as always, and because I threw out a couple of unofficial polls here on this show. I'm so sick of polls that twist and bend in different directions, so I'm doing my own, and they're unofficial, so take them however you want them. It's just really simple. My one question I asked about a month ago was mask on, mask off, and which were you? So 50 masks off so far, 30 wearing masks. So that means mostly people aren't wearing the masks that have done that, have taken the poll here on the show, and yet there are still plenty that are wearing them. And of course, it might have been different a month ago compared to how you feel today. And I think a lot of it goes to where you live and what it's looking like where you live and what the news is as far as the people around you. Are the people around you healthy? Nobody's gotten COVID. Nobody knows anyone with COVID-19. It seems like it's far away. Oh, that's in the Northeast, and I live in another place. I live someplace else. I live even in West Virginia. I don't live in New York. I don't live in New Jersey or any of the Connecticut or any of the places where it seemed like they were really hyper focused on COVID-19 for good reasons, because so many people got them and then so many people died, got it, and then so many people died from it. So that's pretty interesting. I wanted to throw that out because I did the numbers today. And then I've been talking about defunding police. How would you feel about any kind of a federal mandate where the police were defunded? Now that I don't think that's going to go through, but there are also municipalities talking about it all over the country. So defund the police where you are and come up with the community groups instead and different ways to dump the money in a different direction that you think would be better and unite people together better, or where are you on this? And overwhelmingly, people do not want to defund the police. Now, this is a small unofficial poll sampling, since I just thrown that out in the last couple of days, but really only one person said, yeah, defund the police, and they were coming out of Washington. And of course, in Seattle, they have even taken over a precinct and a whole area downtown and have been talking about issues with the police. And we know that there are issues, and we know that there has to be police reform, but it's one thing to completely start from scratch and figure it out. It's another thing to do internal investigations, come up with solid reforms, and also take some money and put it into community relations. Something specific to me, instead of vague, it needs to be specific. It's like accountability, right? You can say whatever, you're going to do X, Y, Z, but if you have nothing tied to it, no accountability, are you going to really stick to it? So it has to go deeper than that, but we get that. I think most of us get that. Watching where this goes and how this all unfolds, I think on the local level, meaning in your hamlet, wherever you live, and then on the state level, and then on the federal level, it could be very different. And a lot of you had things to say about that. Like, I'm going to give you a couple of them. Max said, Kate, defund the police? No way. I think it would be a disaster. Do I think there are some dirty cops? Are you kidding me? There's been movies written about it based on real life stories. Of course there are. But do I think there are some good cops? Of course there are. Do I think it would be stupid to completely rip up policing and think that cities and suburbs and small towns would be safe? Yes, I think it would be stupid to do that. All right, then I got this one from Bob, who says, Kate, I've lived in New Orleans for a long time, and certainly we've seen corruption, and then we've seen some really amazing civic leaders come through, and some, I'd say, police officers who do it for the love of wanting to be connected to the community, honestly. But defunding the police would be a huge mistake. And then just hoping that some really good community leaders could pull it all together and make it make sense and think of what happens now and what precincts do, and especially when they're legit, what that would mean if there was absolutely zero law and order, because really there wouldn't be law and order. All right, and then I got another one from Thomas, who says, I'm on the fence about the whole defunding the police. I heard what you had to say about Camden, New Jersey. It seemed to work there, but you emphasized that it was a small area and a mega corrupt area with massive amounts of crime, very different size-wise than the south side of Chicago, I'm assuming. So to your point about how small it is compared with something bigger, maybe that just would not work. And a one-size-fits-all, to use your words, Ms. Delaney, I think is absolutely right. And that's the problem. When something bubbles up, there often are people who immediately go to the extremes and think that you can just throw a blanket over everyone and everything, and it doesn't work that way. We are all unique, and our states and the way they're run are all unique as well. Yep, absolutely. So that's the thing. People are listening to me all over the country, right? You listen to this show, and you could be listening to us like our pal Sharon in Maine. You could be Pete in the bunker in Texas. Hey, Pete. You could be JoJo listening to us in Tampa, Florida. You know, it's different for everyone, and your situation is different. And, of course, the good thing is where there is corruption, where a light is shining, and where something is just repugnant and reprehensible, and it makes us all sit up and pay attention and then look at how we are in the world, I think that's good. That's what the United States is based on. That's what America is about. Go back and read anything about founding fathers, anything about what it was like to get rid of the Brits and why we didn't want to be under British tyranny. Because in the United States, we have freedoms. And whether we agree with each other all the time or not, of course not. We have the freedom, though, to speak, to say, to do, and to peacefully protest. But the key word there is peacefully, you know, protest. And so we've seen that there were protests that were not and have destroyed livelihoods, and then other people came in and started GoFundMe campaigns, thank goodness, and more money was raised and helped people try to get back on their feet in all different parts of the United States, again, in big cities and suburbs, etc. So I think that part's good. I mean, that's the thing. It's the people. It's the connection that unites us, for sure. So defunding the police and leaving up to the communities, I vote no. I think it'd be disastrous, even though we've seen it work with Camden, Minneapolis. They've had lots of problems. It would have to be super, super organized. It's a very, very big, big city. All right, coming up on the show, we're going to talk about sports. Yes, the Man Cave. PGA, after 3 months, starts again. What was that like without fans? Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Oh, so you're wearing a mask every day now? Where are you getting them?
The same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com. And they're handmade.
Really?
Just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks.
And good price?
That's the best part. I get a 10-pack for only $6.
Wow.
Yes, as a public service, we're now sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at sunnybay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality, more breathable face masks, only $6. Our face masks are hypoallergenic, latex-free, and made for stress-free all-day wearing. Or choose our N95 respirator masks, 2-pack for only $6. Supplies are limited, so place your order at sunny-bay.com, a biomed DV design company right here in the USA. Go to sunny-bay.com and purchase your disposable face masks online. 10 masks for only $6. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
I'm going to the man cave.
Going to the man cave. Going to the man cave. Going to the man cave. Yeah, going to the man cave. Yeah. Man cave, man cave, man cave, man cave, man cave.
Well, finally, we have golf back, PGA style, and it's out at the Colonial. It's the Charles Schwab Challenge at the Colonial Country Club in Fort Worth, Texas, but no fans. So I know that there was mixed reactions from the players from that. My pal Art Strickland, golf writer for Golf Magazine and Golf.com, is out there sweltering and following the action. Art, thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, happy to do it, Kate.
So set it up for us. First of all, what's it like? Is it weird that there aren't fans there?
Well, it really is. And, you know, when you're walking the fairways with the players, you can actually hear them talk. Usually, you know, the fans, the crowd kind of covers up the noise, but you can definitely hear the players talk. And so that's a little bit different. Also, because it's so hot, you know, most of the time players will walk right in the center of the fairway, because that way either the fans on the left or the right can't reach out and touch them or yell at them. They just right in the middle. But it's so hot this week, they're really walking in the shade, which is something else you don't see very often.
Yeah, and media-wise, usually there's a lot of media out there. I've covered it for many, many years, and you and I were talking off the air, and it's been limited, the access to players, the press conferences. Tell us what it's been like from your perspective covering this as a golf writer for Golf Magazine and Golf.com.
Sure. It is different. There's no doubt about that. There's no radio here at all. They bring it to the TVs, to just a few TVs, local TVs, just a reporter and a camera guy. And then very limited media, about 30 minutes, everybody's spread out. You know, there's no big meals, there's no buffet lines, no anything like that. No soft serve ice cream, Kate. I mean, you know, it's kind of grab and go, think for yourself. And then when it comes to the interviews, there's no interview room, and there's no going into the interview room. So, it really is different.
And as far as the action, like you said, because it's different because now the player's walking on the side, grabbing the shade. It is a who's who, though. A lot of the big names came out. I think they were really anxious to play. So what's it look like after this first round? I mean, who's looking really good out there?
Well, you know, I think this proves, Kate, which players really rise to the top. And who's been practicing, who hasn't. You know, I think that's one thing you're seeing. And so Justin Rose, who shot 63 today, English guy, really a strong player. You know, he's won here before, so he knows how to do it. Jordan Spieth is 5 under par. Justin Thomas is 5 under par. Two great players. Spieth has won here before. The other guys, you know, are struggling a bit. You know, Rory McIlroy joked the other day. He said that my Northern Irish tan is as good as it's ever going to get because I've spent a lot of time by the swimming pool the last few months. And so, he didn't have his best round today. Dustin Johnson already struggled. You know, Brooks Koepka struggled a little bit. So, you know, how do the players treat this 3 months off? You know, this is the longest the PGA Tour has been off since World War II, as far as no tournaments are concerned. And so, did they treat this as a kind of a 3 month vacation they weren't expecting to have? Or did they treat this as a practice time that they weren't going to get? And so I think that's what you're seeing reflected in the first round today, Kate.
Wow. And finally, the PGA Tour, are they saying anything about when fans can return to some of these other stops?
I think probably next month at Memorial, which is Jack Nicklaus's tournament, I think that probably they'll have some fans there, limited number, you know. It wasn't a whole lot, and to be honest with you, there wasn't a whole lot of social distancing today. I mean, most of the players and the caddies walked down the fairways together and players walked down the fairways together. So really wasn't a lot of keeping apart from anyone. You didn't see many fist bumps. I know that Koepka fist bumped his caddy coming off of 18, but you didn't see a lot of that. You saw some of the waves and some of the fake bumps, I guess. But other than that, I think it was pretty good.
All right, so Art Strickland, thank you so much. Everybody can catch his stuff. He's a great writer, no question about it. Golf Magazine and Golf.com. Thanks.
Hey, Kate, always good to be with you. Happy to do it.
Charles Schwab Challenge. Interesting. Justin Rose and Harold Varner III tied for 7 under. They both shot 63s. It was so hot in Fort Worth where they played, as you heard Art Strickland say. Justin Thomas, 6 under, tied for 3rd. And my favorite, tied for 7th, Jordan Spieth, 5 under, so he shot a 65, so some decent golf out there with no fans, and the players said it was very, very strange. All right, there is some controversy over the Confederate flag and the Confederate flag not being flown anymore at NASCAR events, so no longer, once people are back in the saddle, so to speak, and on the infield, and they're in RVs, you cannot fly Confederate flags. It will not be allowed It is completely forbidden, and any Confederate flags on cars, helmets, all that kind of stuff, totally gone. What has that meant for the drivers? A couple of the drivers sounded off about what it meant. Take a listen.
Bravo. Props to NASCAR and everybody involved.
Overwhelming emotion, because it's not something that I expected or anticipated in any way, shape, form. I thought that Steve Phelps was taking a tremendous risk by doing the right thing.
All right, so how about that? That was Brad Daugherty, who talked about, he's a co-owner of a racing team, obviously, Daugherty Racing, and he's a retired NBA player, and he said it really surprised him. You heard him there. It caught him off guard, and he had the opportunity to talk with Steve Phelps, who is the president of NASCAR, and he told him what his thoughts were, and he was going to do it, and he said it was overwhelming emotion, because he was, I guess he was surprised by that, and he said he was very proud to be a member of the NASCAR community and what has happened. And he referenced, you know, NASCAR's reaction to the 2015 Charleston, South Carolina church shooting, where 9 African Americans were killed by a white supremacist. The killer posted photos of himself online with a flag, the Confederate flag, before the shooting. And then, you know, the other drivers. So you heard a little snippet of Bubba Wallace. Jimmy Johnson, Bubba Wallace, ended relationships with NASCAR helmet designer following the Confederate flag tweets. So they weren't the only ones. They severed their ties with this helmet designer after the brand account lashed out online about NASCAR's decision to ban the Confederate flag at racing events. And it just started off as some tweets fired off mentioning NASCAR, you know, media people in defense of keeping the flag. And Jason Beam of Beam Designs said, in defense of preserving history, whatever that means, grew to calling Bubba Wallace's Black Lives Matter car garbage. Whoa! And that really infuriated Wallace, obviously. So there you go. And it is a definite. NASCAR is not backing down off of that. They're sticking by it. And we've seen that Confederate symbols are tumbling, whether it's the discussion about what's going to happen with bases named after Southern generals that, you know, were Confederate generals, obviously, and some of the, like I said, some of the statues that have been ripped down, like the beheaded Christopher Columbus in Boston, for example. And it's just interesting times for sure. And some of these things are to be determined, but not when it comes to what NASCAR has decided. It is across the board, no way, no how you would be removed, because it is prohibited once the fans are all back in the stands. And any symbols of it related to it on cars, helmets, that kind of thing. All right, thanks so much to all of you for listening to this hour of the show. Remember, no matter what, we're all in this together. Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM. Boom.